This is episode 00051. It's warm down here, so I took my pants off. Brought to you by a guitar that doesn't know which handedness it is. It's the tone
it's
control.
Definitely not. It's definitely not ambidextrous.
No. It's neither and not both.
It just is.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, I'm recording.
I'm just discovering a thing here. Eminent speakers, right? They're
You haven't said anything about them yet, so I don't know if it's right.
They're from a town called Eminence, Kentucky.
Oh, all right.
Which I did not realize. Not that that's a thing I would know, but I just didn't even know that they... I wonder which was named first. I know which was named first. But, I had no idea. That's not crazy far from you,
looks like. Most places in Kentucky aren't crazy far from me.
The Google says an hour and a half.
Go Google.
Road trip! That's all. Anyway, I was reading ahead of the class a little bit and doing some little research on Eminence.
Cool.
Which we'll kind of talk about, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speakers.
Yeah.
So what's up? I rushed into this.
Check this out. I got a little Han Solo bobblehead.
Oh, cool.
Look at this guy.
Hey, sweet.
Wobble, wobble, wobble.
He has weird eyes.
Yeah, maybe a little blaster.
Yeah.
Pew, pew. I am a lot less distracted this week, and that's good. So,
oh, good. I think I'm more distracted.
Oh, good. So we've traded.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I listened to the last episode, and I was like, oh, this wasn't that bad, I guess. It wasn't like as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that you probably cut just huge chunks of the show out.
No, I didn't cut it. I didn't cut anything humongous out until the end. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I left in the part where we were like, so is this all going to get cut out? But we went on for quite a while trying to pad the show, and we never stumbled onto anything particularly interesting. So I just cut all that garbage out. This is why you don't do a live show.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that one time. It was not great.
Yeah, it didn't come out that good.
We could do that better. I think our other special show when we were in Cincinnati was a good one.
Yeah. But
that was about as exciting as it should get.
Right. It was just too... We tried to do too many things and spread it around to too many people. But anyway.
Mm. Anyway. What do we do first? We say thanks to
Pedalgene? Oh, yeah. We say... Let's... In fact, do I want to change the accent?
Oh. That's your call. We can ride out Australian edition for a little while.
I think
the last second
three
you can
others.
Okay.
So anyway, well,
thanks to Pedal Genie for sponsoring the tone control. Go to pedalgenie.com/control to start your wish list.
That's pedalgenie.com/tone control. She does not read URLs right.
None of them can.
Oops.
Speaking of cans.
Yep. Oh, this is good.
What do you got?
So I made a little mess. This is hold on. I'm sticky. I'm gonna get my computer sticky. This is the
I love their branding.
Yes. So this is from Rheingeist, the Cidergeist. It is a semi-dry hard cider. And I'm leaning way away from my microphone because I'm trying not to drip sticky hard cider onto my computer.
Sticky hard.
Right out of the gate.
Do we just turn into like morning radio DJs?
Boing!
I have from Finch's Beer Company in Chicago. These guys, everything they make is outstanding. Chimera India Pale Ale.
Excellent.
Not the hardcore Chimera. That's for another day. This is just the regular Pale Ale.
Yeah. Well, I don't usually get cider. I actually I was doing the kind of make your own six pack business that goes on, and I just saw this. I'm all right. Well, I'll try it. I actually thought my wife might like it, but apparently she doesn't like cider at all.
Oh, really?
She's a little bit selective about beer, but she likes beer better than cider.
So interesting. Like, Beth is the total opposite. She way prefers cider. She's, you know, the way you and I are about beer, she is about ciders.
Yeah.
The reigning champ, I don't know if you can get it out there. Mm-hmm. It's called Down East Cider, as in Down East area of Maine.
Right, where the people are in
Boston.
In Maine.
Yeah, they're in Boston now, but... they make, without a doubt, the best hard cider around. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Jeez. Get a name.
Get a name. Figure it out. Naming things about where you are. You see what happens, then you move.
Yeah. Anyway, great cider.
Yeah.
it more than makes up for the weird name.
Sure. So we've got pedals this week, yes?
Yep. I have one. I still haven't recorded a demo.
I haven't recorded one for mine either, but that's a story for a little bit later.
I've had mine since Friday, and I haven't recorded a demo, but I'll explain why later on. Yep, we got pedals and
some news.
We got beers and some news, and I have a guitar update a little bit, sort of. Fun thing. So I ordered a pickup. I got a great deal on a DiMarzio PAF Master.
Nice.
Got it for $79 covered, like the worn aged
the
cover.
One we were looking at, right?
Yeah, which is usually like $99. So I got a
good deal,
like, you know, yeah, save some money there.
Half
eBay, yep, killer. And let's see what else I've got. They're installing things like tuners for me. The nut is
coming
installed.
This tastes like champagne.
Oh, it might use champagne yeast. That's a thing ciders do sometimes. Huh. Yeah.
I dig this. This is better than any cider that I've had before.
Oh, man. We don't have that out here. You're going to have to mail me some. I'll mail you some Down East.
Yeah, and this is not a year-round thing either. Cidergeist. Place isn't that big. Anyway, sorry. Something about a nut?
Yeah, so things like the nut and tuners and string tree and string ferrules are all coming installed, which is great because I don't have, like, I mean, I can install tuners, but I can't really install a nut properly.
Yeah.
That's not something I want to be doing myself.
Not at all.
Yeah, and the string ferrules, like, I probably could do that, but they install them for no extra charge, please do that.
Is that the through body?
Yes, that's the thing in the back of the guitar that, like, stops the ball end of the string.
Those you just drop in. It's just, they pressure fit.
They pressure fit. I think you kind of tap them in with, like, a rubber mallet or something.
I didn't have that. When I did it to mine, I did not think of that. So when I ordered my new guitar body, it did not come with those in it. And I was like, shoot. So I actually knocked them. I took a nail set and knocked them out of the old Telecaster body. And I put them into the hole and they fit pretty snug. And then when I stuck a string in and pulled real hard, it pulled it the rest of the way in. So that's all I did.
Nice.
But anyway.
Cool. And I'm trying to think of what else. I think we're pretty much on schedule 10 to 12 weeks from the start of the project, which was September 1st or 2nd or something. So sometime in mid-November, I think we're aiming between the 10th and the 24th, give or take, would be the 10 to 12 week area.
Good.
So hopefully that will all be here soon. I'm super pumped. I'm getting, like, really excited about it. I have a checklist going of all the things I need still, including a neck pickup.
Right.
All kinds of other things I'm, like, sort of occasionally thinking about, but mostly forgetting about, like a jack cup, shielding tape, strap locks, you know, all that kind of, a switch tip, because I know I'll get everything going and forget the switch tip.
So
that kind of thing.
Jack cup. I peeked up on that because when I got mine, the typical Telecaster jack is recessed.
Yeah.
Which means it's actually recessed in such a way that you can't use a 90-degree plug.
Right.
Which I did not like because I wanted to do the through strap, or if I had a wireless, you know, I wanted to just to have it angling the right way. So I actually got I got one that I think is made for a Gibson, for like a Les Paul guitar. Mm-hmm. It was just some aftermarket thing at the store. It was it's just a plate.
Is it the football or is it the square plate?
It's square.
Okay.
But it's just a straight plate rather than a recessed cup, which I highly recommend. And then you don't have to drill anything weird.
I've got a cup on my other telly and my OG telly.
That doesn't bother you?
And no, I don't have right angle jack or cables though. So it's nice, obviously, but my Strat will not accept
a right angle
that easily. So I'm fine with it going through the strap and hanging down. It's not a big deal to me. I totally agree though. Having it nice and neat is great, but it's not a deal breaker. Yeah.
All right.
So I got to get one of those pickguard screws, pickup rings, all kinds of things. I'm trying to learn how to age chrome myself, which is proving to be very difficult because chrome was pretty much made to not age.
Right. Things. That's the point of putting that into the steel.
Yep. So, although I've had a breakthrough earlier today, so we'll continue with that.
Okay.
Small world kind of story. Steven from Vessel is building a guitar with MJT.
Oh no!
Right now. Oh man! Oh, and no. he's building a Tele, and it sounds totally kick-ass. And we have the same project manager.
Nice. You think they go geographically?
They might. I don't know. Could just be around Robin.
That would be a weird way to do it.
Yeah. But I don't know how many guitars they have in production, like for orders like ours at a time, but pretty fun. So we're gonna compare notes.
Yeah, that's cool. No, it'd be cool to get reports too. Comparative.
I think he's a few weeks ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So he's gotten pictures of his fully painted already.
Nice.
Which mine is, it might be painted at this point, but I just got a photo of it being prepped last week. We posted it on the Facebook page. Got a photo of the neck too, which I did not post. So it wasn't much to look at. It was all covered up in masking tape.
Yeah. So, getting ready to get painted. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
So, that's where we're at.
Okay.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be a good one.
That's bloody great, y'all.
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 Your south is showing.
It's gotta do what you gotta do. All right, hey, what do you say we do some news?
Sure.
Kablam.
Oh, gotta get that. Yeah.
BYOC micro pedal kits.
There you go.
It's done, everybody. So these are all $58.99. And they're just like small, are they reduced controls or just did they pick stuff that had small controls to begin with and just made the circuit smaller?
I think the latter.
Cool.
Yeah, there might be some trim pots, internal trim pots on some of these. I haven't looked super closely at them yet, but these are like the EP booster size enclosure.
Yeah,
very small.
With the jacks that are sort of diagonal.
Yep.
I'll tell you one thing I like about this right away, besides the price. Because, I mean, you know they're not going to make sacrifices in the circuit. They just shrunk it down, put it on a smaller plate. So.
Sorry, guys. They made a pun in one of the names, and I get it.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
So one thing I like right away, I'm looking at the picture, and I'm seeing that the circuit board has a printed section for where the switch comes in. Mm. The switch, because these are all... all the BYOC kits are true bypass. It's a triple pull, double throw, or double pull. It has 9 pins, and you use all of them to do it. Like you have to do some kind of complicated little finicky little things, and cut some very specific lengths of wire, and tie a couple of things together, and then pass one through the other one, and then onto another pin, and that is typically like one of the hardest parts of any kit pedal build. Mm-hmm. And so this one, you're going to drop that right in there and just solder them. The wiring's done for you on the PCB. So killer. I hate that part. So let's see. We've got the 27V boost kit.
Yep.
The Cusco Junior kit.
That's the one I was laughing at because it's based on the Way Huge Red Llama. It's an adverse joke.
Yes. Awesome. Love that.
One of the great films.
Love that. Love that. Well, I should say what these are. So the 27V booster kit is a boost. Yep. Utilizing they've got the 7660S charge pump. So it takes 9 volts and outputs both plus 18 and minus 9 rails. It's an op amp based boost. Is this a kit that they had already? I've never really looked at their boost kits.
I don't know.
Kits,
I've never seen that name before, so I don't think so.
So there's basically a volume knob and a treble control that cuts or boosts the treble above 3.3K.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, they're using all full-size switches and knobs with these. All right, so the Cusco Junior, like you said, is the Red Llama, which is a fuzz, like a, right?
No, it's like a... Well,
it says it's fuzzy, it says yeah. It's based on a Craig Anderson tube sound fuzz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tube fuzz sound. Fuzz
so it's
sound,
a C, fuzz. It's a CMOS-based fuzz, which yeah, people sometimes think CMOS sounds a little tubey.
We did a demo on that from... I got one from Pedal Genie at some point.
Yeah.
Cool pedal. Yeah. Really, this is a good one, but next, this is a cool
sure.
thing.
Sure. Next up, the Lil Comp kit, which is the Script Era Dynacomp. Half the size.
Little
including a new old stock CA3080 chip. Bam.
Hmm.
All right, the Lil Orange Phaser. Yep, Phase 90. Script logo era Phase 90.
Nice.
Done. Boom.
Boom. And they're all $59.
Yeah, new old stock JFET on that one as well.
Cool.
Four of them, actually. A quad of 2N5952s for those of you who are keeping track.
No,
for those of you out there in the tone control circuit that are keeping track. Boing.
This one's for you.
We need atoll names if we're going to be podcast jocks.
Yeah. Do you ever watch The League?
Nope.
Great show. There's a shock jock character named The Douche.
Wait, the shock jock on Parks and Recreation was The Douche. It was two of them. It was like...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's what I'm thinking.
You're mixing
of.
It up.
Okay, same actor, though. That's what
oh,
it is.
Oh, okay.
That guy, Nick Kroll, he's on The League.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like so-and-so in The Douche. And then yeah. He insists everyone calls him that, whether he's at work or not, too.
Right.
Hey, how's it going, The Douche?
Yeah, they put the
Yep. All right, well, anyway. Yeah, so cool.
Anyway.
Cool little kits, low cost.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of sound. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Moving right along. This is, I guess, not really like a news thing, I guess, but Reverb.com on their blog, The Reverb Tank. Did a really cool speaker shootout.
Great name.
Guitar. Oh,
great name for a blog.
Oh, perfect. They really hit it out mm-hmm. of the park. So they did a tone shootout with speakers from Eminence, Celestion, and Hempopotamus, who I had never heard of before this video.
Hmm.
But there's a lengthy blog post here and a great video where they play the riff and they cut it together. So you go right from one speaker to the next through the same like playing. So you can really hear the tonal changes. There's no break in between
yeah.
when the speaker gets changed. So your ears are acclimated to that first one, and then it's, bam, you've changed. And then you get used to that one, bam, it's changed again. So they did an Eminence CV75, the Celestion G12H75. Is that what you have?
That is, mine is the 65-watt version. So it's,
oh, okay.
This is the slightly higher-powered version which is a 65, which was the higher-powered version of the Greenback because somebody wanted to play a Greenback but way loud. I believe
right, okay.
something like Van Halen era kind of stuff mm-hmm. was going on.
And lastly, the Hempopotamus Hempo Model 30. So it's cool. It's they play through a Dr. Z, like pretty neutral sounding amp. They just play a Tele. It's like really, you know, as scientific as one can get mm-hmm. pretty quickly with this sort of thing. Really interesting. We always are talking about, pedals and guitars and things, all the things that can change your sound.
Yeah.
And speakers aren't really a thing that comes up that often, at least for us.
Oh, but it's a huge part of it.
Oh, it's a humongous part. And it's one of those things that it's not as easy to, for a lot of people, it's not as easy to experiment with changing speakers as it is pedals or guitars sometimes even.
Yeah, and it can have this like it can have an impact on the tone that you can't do any other way. Like you can swap mm-hmm. tubes in your amp and you can use different strings or pickups or different pedals, all kinds of stuff, but it's always going to kind of come through. And I mean, your amp, it has its tone, which to mm-hmm. it, you can shift it one way or the other with different components, but the amp itself is always going to have a little bit of a tone. And the speaker's the same way. I mean, they each will have a different resonance, and that'll cause kind of the feeling of the bottom of the sound to just be in a different place.
It's a really cool little test, though. The Hempopotamus was way different than the other two, which is kind of interesting.
Is that a
hemp cone?
Okay. Is it a 75-watt speaker?
No. Well, it's got 30 in the name.
Yeah, but something like the vintage 30 is a 60-watt speaker.
Right. I don't know.
Because, I mean, if you're I would expect they would compare things that are all in the same efficiency same range.
Probably. I liked the Eminence the most.
Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. Oops, I just closed that tab. That's all right. Celestion makes a bunch of different speakers that are all going to be probably as different as any of these are to each other.
Oh, sure.
So this isn't like a comparison between these manufacturers. It's really just a comparison between these three speakers. That's kind of why I assume that must be a 75-watt speaker. It would have been a silly thing to put in the test.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. To just demonstrate how different speakers can really be, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's neat. This is something you don't see every day.
Yeah, it's a good one. Link to that in the show notes if you're interested in the blog post on the Reverb Tank.
Cool.
I just wanted to say the Reverb Tank again.
Yeah. Like you do, obviously. Yep.
Uh-huh. And what else?
Next up, MXR EVH 5150 Overdrive.
Speaking of Van Halen era.
Somebody put a 5150 in a pedal? What?
MXR, of all people. They make all the other Eddie Van Halen signature pedals, like his signature Phase 90, and I think there's a wah. There's probably a bunch of other stuff.
Sure.
I think there's maybe an EQ. Anyway, and they all have that cool stripey paint job, and this is no exception. Mm-hmm. So it's got like a really dark gray chassis with a flat black stripe pattern, mm-hmm. so that's neat. This thing, I watched the little demo video here. It sounds pretty ripping. You know, this kind of thing is getting better and better. Every day when they're like putting amps into pedals and stuff like that.
There's those
and
MOSFETs.
It sounds great. If you can't get a 5150 or want that sound, but still want some other amp, like for $200, like this will get you pretty much all the way there.
So powered by multi-stage MOSFETs, which tend to saturate. That's sort of like the most tube-like component that isn't a tube, I guess. If you had to pick a three-band EQ section, boost switch for extra gain and compression, and the gate.
So there's a thing about the boost switch though. Like it's that MXR style, like push little mini switch.
Oh, it's not a foot switch.
It's not a foot switch. Which, I don't know. If you're gonna come in for a lead or something, like, wouldn't you? I'm not going to bend down and push that.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a foot switch. I don't know. Whatever. And there's also a noise gate built right in.
Yeah. It looks like they,
it's built on the MXR's smart gate pedal.
Okay.
They just threw one right in there.
See, there, at first I was going to say, well, the switch, probably that amp doesn't have a switch for the boost or something. So they were just being faithful, but they weren't, because obviously they have no problem putting a gate in it. Expected street price, $199.99. So what do they mean expected? Oh, this isn't them. What? This is a guitar magazine. Okay.
Yep.
It's like expected. Decide. Is it that or not? Jerks.
So, cool. Yeah,
bitches. Sorry, I was...
What else? Do I have anything else on my notes? Not really. Cider. Oh, this was one cool thing. This pedal was headed up by George Tripps of Way Huge.
Oh, yeah, which is also owned by Dunlop. Yeah.
Which is MXR and all that weirdness, but whatever.
Cool.
It's True Bypass. Yep.
Cool. Hey.
Cool. Hey. Stripe paint job. Neat.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we could probably stick a pedal genie in here, right?
I think we could. I think the time is now.
The time is now. All right. Well, let's let. Don't give it all away, man.
That's like one of my favorite pieces of music ever written.
I'm glad we get to use it in the show every week.
Pedal Genie is like the Netflix of guitar pedals. Rent any pedal you want for as long as you want, for one low monthly price. Shipping is included and there are no late fees or time limits. With over 1,500 pedals to try from nearly 100 different manufacturers, Pedal Genie definitely has the gear you want to try. For only $39.95 a month, you get to try out any pedal you want for as long as you want. If one isn't enough for you, Pedal Genie Pro gets you 3 pedals at a time for only $64.95 a month. Not convinced? Your first month is only $1. If you find the pedal of your dreams, the one you just have to keep, Pedal Genie will offer you a buyout option. Prices vary with the length of your membership and the type of pedal, but you'll definitely get an awesome price for the pedal in your hand. If you are the type to rent a pedal for an extended period of time, the new Flex subscription may be right for you. With Flex, shipping is not included, but you can keep your rental as long as you want for just $14.95 a month. So head to pidolgenie.com/control to fill up your wishlist with pedals, pay your $1, and they'll send out your first pedal ASAP. Pedal Genie, all your pedal wishes granted.
You hear a little trepidation in her voice when she says shipping is not included in the Flex subscription. She's like, oh, man. But hey, that's pedalgenie.com/tone control for those who can't understand the ridiculous robot.
Yeah. I know she said Flex, but it sounded like legs. At least through, you know, the Google Hangout and stuff.
Yeah.
Legs might be right for you.
Try legs. Try legs. Okay.
Oh, man. So who's going? Who's up?
You go first, I guess. You know what your pedal is.
You have yours.
I do. Go on.
Anyway, okay. I had the EHX Key 9 electric piano machine. I still have it, actually. I don't know why I said had. It's right here. Anyway.
Nice.
This is the third in a series of keyboard-esque, organ-esque sounding pedals based on the POG technology.
Right. Had you had any of the ones before? I know I had one of them.
Not from Pedal Genie. I got to try I think it was a B9 at a guitar shop.
And okay.
That thing was really cool, and I thought it was like definitely had its thing about it, and not that I would necessarily own it, mm-hmm. but it did a great job, I thought. I wish I could say the same about this. It's just not quite there. I don't know. It doesn't... You had the B9 or C9, right?
C, I think.
Okay, and you know that feeling of how it... your sustain is somewhat infinite, and then it just
cuts
eliminates.
Off, yeah.
Right. This doesn't really have that. And that's like one of the
feelings of those... It's one of the staples of those pedals.
Yeah, of those two sounds. And like how a lot of like the sound of what like those what these pedals are trying to get at, like
if
that's
it's
a pretty
decaying,
good quality of
that
it.
That makes it not really convincing as a guitar transformation.
Yes, and all the sounds, there's 9 different sounds on this. They all just kind of feel like, well, I guess with one exception, they all kind of feel like just a guitar with some weird effect on it.
Hmm.
Like not really sounding much like an electric piano. And maybe I'm just not doing this right, but I've seen some demos of people and it sounds pretty cool and everything. And the reviews are great. Everybody seems to love it except me. So anyway, okay, let's go through.
So bummed.
I am kind of bummed because I liked the other one tried. So yeah. And you liked, I think I
no,
tried
that's
the B9.
Surprising.
You confirmed the C9 was cool.
We totally expect it to be great just like the others. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of good, not great, you know, and the other two I think are great.
Yeah.
So, and for a price tag of $220, like I wouldn't really spend that kind of money on something like this.
Sure.
So, okay, let's go through. Mono in, and then it's got two outputs. One says keys, and the other says dry. Just okay. like the other two.
Right, yeah.
You have two volume knobs on the face of the pedal for keys and dry. So you can blend your dry signal back in, which is kind of neat,
mm-hmm.
and get like a, you know, background organ sound or a background guitar sound along with whatever you're doing. So
right.
Then control one and control two just manipulate various parameters between all these sounds. And then there's like a rotary dial. Oh, sorry, burpee. It's exactly the same as all the other pedals. So it's got a rotary dial for 9 different sounds. And those are dynamo, whirly, which is, I guess is a Wurlitzer,
mm-hmm.
suitcase, mallets, 88, tri-glorious, vibes, organ, and steel drums. What are you doing? Are you having like a moment over there? It's like you're having an episode.
You really want to know?
I mean, you're adjusting.
It's warm down here, and I took my pants off. true story. Just trying not to interrupt your flow.
Oh, believe me, it has been interrupted.
Sorry, were you?
I'm like looking at this thing, trying not to be distracted by what Justin's doing, dancing all around. Like kind of half standing, half sitting. Anyway, okay.
Okay.
They all just kind of sound like weird filtery things you've put on your guitar. And partly because of that sustain thing. And just, I don't really think it's, maybe the electric piano wasn't really something they should have tried to put into a pedal like the others, you know?
Yeah.
So I haven't recorded a demo yet because I'm kind of hesitant to do it because I'm just not really into this pedal. And I was going to bounce this off of you and see, like, do you think I should just do one anyway? It doesn't inspire me when I plug it in, and it's.
Yeah, I don't care.
I just play like little riffs and stuff, and it's like, meh, whatever.
I don't care.
All right. You know what? I'm going to say.
We've let pedals go before, right?
Yeah, I mean, things like compressors we can't really demo. So
yeah,
I mean,
this has a sound. Yeah.
Yeah, this has a sound, obviously, but like there's plenty of demos out there online. I'm not into it, and I'm kind of disappointed. The Tri-Glorious sounds nice. It's mostly just like a chorus pedal, though.
Mm-hmm.
The steel drums thing is weird. It's either mallets. I think it's mallets and the steel drum sound have zero sustain. It's just the attack.
Just plunk,
and it's over. So like if you're like, I strummed a chord and it was like, is this not working? Like I didn't even realize. Yeah, it's really kind of weird.
Huh.
So, but like I said, $221.30 for this from Sweetwater.
It sounds like they made a couple of hits, and you know, they made a hit, then they made a sequel and it was a hit. And, you know, it's like Hollywood. They'll keep making sequels if they keep making money until one of them flops, and then they won't make them anymore.
All the reviews here on Sweetwater are at least 4 stars out of 5. But, like, there's only 3, I guess. But it still just didn't really hit me. I was really excited to try it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of let down. So
maybe they were just struggling to fit. You know, we got to get 9 sounds into here, and we really, the Wurlitzer is the only worthwhile one or something. You know?
Well, that and like the Fender Rhodes, and this like doesn't even really quite get there because the Rhodes has such a great, like iconic sound. And if you're not, it's like to me, it's either a Rhodes or it's not.
Yeah.
And this is not.
Right.
The control knobs, like some of these have, some of these settings have like phasing or tremolo. Chorusing, and those let you manipulate the depth and speed and things like that. So,
yeah. All right.
Too bad.
Well, too bad. You can't win them all.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the reasons I was so disheveled and running around with my head cut off is because I didn't get the pedal in until this afternoon. Frankly, at like 3:30, and just. By then, my day is pretty much over. I don't have really much time to spend with it before I've got to like do the whole dinner and bedtime routine for the little one and stuff.
The dinner and baby thing.
Yeah. So I was like, well, that's all right. I'll spend a few minutes with it. I'll take like, you know, half an hour or an hour just to familiarize myself with it. And let me show you what I got. Let me show you what I pulled out of the box here.
Oh, I don't even know. Yeah, this is the tone control first. Here we go. The plot thickens. Suspense is building.
So look at this.
Oh, okay.
So what I got is
those guys are great.
Yeah, this is the Chase Bliss Audio Warped Vinyl. This thing has, so I basically, here's the story. I'm thinking I'm going to familiarize myself real quick. Last week I had a pedal that had two knobs and one of them was reverb. That was what the pedal did. You know what I mean? This time, yeah. This thing has... It has like...
Isn't like 16 dip switches on
it? It has... Yeah, it has 16 dip switches on the back. It has three-way toggles. No, sorry, 4 3-way toggles and 6 knobs and a bypass switch and a tap switch. Expression in, tap in, out.
Now, is that Warped Vinyl Mark II or the
It doesn't
original?
Say anything about being Mark II.
Okay.
But anyway, the
Where
point is...
Where are the
is,
dip switches? The very... Okay, yeah, that's the first version.
Yeah.
I just wanted to pull up a page on it.
This... So I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'll totally just... What is this? So I tried to play this for a second, and I mean, it's actually fairly intuitive. I can talk about this, but it was very overwhelming when I looked at it and was like,
there's
oh
a lot going on
God.
With Chase Bliss pedals.
What the hell? So, okay, let's start with the basics. This is an analog vibrato / chorus pedal. The warped vinyl thing is because you can do some strange things with it that will literally make it sound like a weird, wobbly, warped record, mm-hmm. you know? But it is an all analog circuit, but the controls are digital. So each bit of the analog circuit is controlled by a digital brain. So you get this
the best thing.
Presettable, recallable, precise thing. You can do crazy stuff that you wouldn't be able to do. But the guitar signal is never converted to digital and back. It's all just it all just stays analog. So basically, you're boy, where to start?
So
yep.
I've tried one Chase Bliss pedal, and it was the Phaser.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've seen of the other ones out there, they all seem
share
to have
a rubric.
The same, right? Which is good for the amount of things that these pedals can do.
Right, they lay it out in a pretty good way, and they even draw a little box around some controls that all relate to each other and stuff. So,
so Modu shape—that's what I was going to ask you about. So it does have that. That's the angling of the front half or back half of the wave.
So you have front half or back half. You have three different shapes, like a sine, a straight line, or a which would be like a triangle wave or a square wave.
Yep.
So and you can then there's a depth control, like how deep that wave is, and then there's a warp control which mixes between the two halves of the wave. So you can
it moves
the center point, so you can emphasize more. Use more of the front or more of the back if you want, or leave them in the center.
So you can give it kind of a different rhythm.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, with that, once you learn how to use it, you can achieve a lot of very interesting patterns and shapes. The tap control has a subdivision switch, which can be 1, 2, 4, 3, 6, or 8. There's an RPM control and a ramp control. Then there's volume and mix. Now I'm starting to blank a little bit. I'm afraid I'm going to say something stupid about the difference between the RPM control and the ramp control. But
well, okay. So in my experience, the ramp control, ramp is on the other one that I tried as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that involves the dip switches, to my knowledge. And that allows you to manipulate more than one control on the face of the pedal with a single knob.
Right. Either a knob or the expression. So it's either or.
Yep.
With the dip switches, so basically you can assign one or many controls to be ramped. So essentially it will it will modulate those controls. And then that's right. And then, so the RPM is the actual speed. The ramp knob is the speed of the ramping. Or if the expression is into it, the expression will control the speed of the ramping.
Yep.
And right. So you can add or remove volume, mix, RPM, depth, and warp.
All at once or individually or whatever. Right,
however you want.
Yeah.
There's also a dip switch for bounce, which will call, if that's on, it will oscillate back and forth. And if bounce is off, it will ramp up or down, you know, to its destination point and then stay there until the next time the ramp is triggered. Okay, so that seems weird. So you turn on a pedal and it would do one thing for once. Well, there's another dip switch for MO bypass. And that is momentary bypass. So that makes the bypass switch momentary, meaning the pedal only works while you hold the switch down rather than switching it on and then switching it off.
This is the kind of pedal that would really benefit from something like that.
Right. So you can create a warp and then make it go meow. And then when you pick your foot up, it stops. It's back to normal. That's pretty cool. Yeah. There's also a lo-fi switch, which does kind of a, you know, signal degradation kind of thing. Then there is a second 8 set of dip switches, which you pick. So each of those controls, volume, mix, RPM, depth, or warp, that is ramping, you can choose if that ramp is a rise or a fall. Does it start at the top and go down, or start at the bottom and go up? And then there is switches for the tap control. So you can control the divisions either in odd or even. Or in threes or in pairs. And then the sweep. Oh, God, I got to look at the page because...
There's so much.
Oh, my God.
Like, I think you've covered. Like, you haven't even talked about what it sounds like.
I haven't talked about what it sounds like. Okay, so the tap control is switching between R and V. R stands for ramp and V for vibrato. So that means whether the tap is going to be the speed of the ramping or the speed of the...
With the vibing.
Kind of wobbly effect.
Yeah. I'm having a kind of wobbly effect listening to
sweep controls where the ramp sweeps. The T in the top ramping or expression control will occur between the current knob position and the max or fully clockwise. The B bottom of the ramping or expression control will occur between the current knob position and the minimum. So again, whether it's okay.
Yep.
So it's confusing.
I get it. I just need like a degree to understand.
It's actually like once you kind of spend some time with it, it's just about as elegant a way they could have laid out all these controls. It really is well thought out. It's just there's so much they're packing into this.
And there's another toggle between the two
foot switches.
Oh, so
that's presets. So there's a manual mode where the toggle's in the center and the toggle can go left or right. And in either position is a preset. Mm-hmm. So
very cool.
You can have it. You can have the knobs essentially be your third preset.
Awesome.
The sound. It's an all analog signal path. You can do a convincing chorus with this. You can do a convincing tremolo. You can do a convincing vibrato.
I've never been into vibrato pedals.
Yeah.
I just think they. I wouldn't really often want my guitar to sound like that. Mm-hmm. But this thing kind of has my attention, I guess. It's the one I would get, I think.
Well,
or the one you'd have to get.
Kind of this weird thing that you can do with it with the momentary bypass, where
you can really whack it out.
You can whack it out, but it's not this like sort of, you know, the vibrato kind of this throbbing wom wom wom, you know, with pitch, that does end up sounding really weird most of the time. It basically sounds like Zelda. No matter what you do, you feel like you're about to break into Zelda. but with this, you'd be able to just kind of meow, and then you're done kind of thing. And
or even like have it go super fast so it just like crazy, like almost oscillates.
Yeah.
That would sound cool
too. Oh yeah, and the speed ranges are definitely wild. So yeah, so that's the deal. It's a heavy, heavy chunk of metal. It's a lot going on in there.
They're really doing it right. There's another version of this pedal out now. I couldn't really tell you the major differences, but it's been such a success that they released a Mark II.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty awesome. I know the one major difference is they moved the dip switches to the what would be instead of the bottom of the pedal to the
top,
like top
the side,
yeah, where so the power the side top thing, yeah. Yeah. So they're easy to get to, and you don't have to rip it off your pedal board in order to change stuff.
Cool.
You got a price on that? Let's see. Okay. Well, the Warp Vinyl Mark II is $349.
Okay. It's probably the only one that's available new. Yeah, it says this one says sold out. They don't really have any more, so.
Great build quality. I tried the Phaser. I forget what it was called. Womb Tone?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Mark II of that as well.
Essentially the same.
A legacy product.
Essentially the same layout.
Yep. The Gravitas is a new one. We talked about that briefly on the show once. And that's a 100% tremolo.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, cool.
Well, as usual, thanks to Pedal Genie for sending us great gear to try, or sometimes not so great gear, but that's not their fault. Yeah. go to Pedal Genie and sign up and tell them you heard about it here. And we thank you kindly.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
man. All right, so next up, the IK Multimedia iRig Pro Duo.
Duo.
So the iRig Pro. The iRig Pro was sort of their flagship from iRig. It started out as kind of like iPhone, iPad compatible interface is usually just like a, I think there was a,
it's a dongle thing.
Yeah, there was a guitar plug, like a high impedance instrument input for one. There was one that was a microphone. There was one that was a microphone mm-hmm. input. The Pro, I guess, was either. The Pro was like an XLR or an instrument input, I think.
Not totally sure, okay. But probably.
Probably. Yeah. Well, the Pro Duo is two XLR or TRS combo jacks for audio, and they're phantom powered. So you can do two microphones, two instruments, combinations of either, or line-ins. TRS is line-in as well for your keyboards and stuff. It'll take anything. They're claiming, you know, ultra low noise, high headroom preamps. I don't know anything. I mean, I'm assuming these aren't going to, well, we know by the price, this is a $200 thing. And so this isn't like going to be better than like the Apogee Duet or what, you know what I mean? Like that could cost like $600, but,
sure.
They're definitely like, this is sort of the lowest price you can get, for a two input thing. It's got MIDI inputs as well, which is something I don't really see that much of anymore since all your MIDI devices are USB. But but the convenience of that, though, would be, you know, when you're working on not on a computer, if you're working on an iPad or a phone or Android phones too, you don't have, you know, a bunch of extra USB ports to connect multiple devices, right? So this thing will connect your keyboard as well as your microphones and instruments and stuff. So simultaneous two-channel recording, 24-bit. What else do you want? I mean, fits your hand, totally self-powered. Yeah, two AA batteries. So it's not...
Or it'll run on USB if you're hooking it up to a laptop.
Right.
Or anything
but
like that.
But it won't drain your phone.
Right.
Because it has its own batteries. So
pretty cool. And it's compatible with just about everything, it looks like.
Yeah.
$200, excluding taxes, they bothered to mention.
looks like it's got balanced outputs. So even things like I know the Apogee One just has an 1/8-inch headphone as an output, which is an unbalanced stereo output. Technically higher quality output. Yeah, outputs going to your speakers.
And when you buy one of these, it's including a bunch of software from IK Multimedia, like Amplitube and stuff like that. So you can kind of get started. Amplitube Metal.
Sample Tank. Sample SE. Tank. So, and T-Rex.
T-Rex
Classic. So those are probably like the intro versions of each of those things.
And it says, as well as a full complement of recording and processing apps for iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's as mobile as it gets, and being able to connect real microphones and stuff like that to them. So yeah, two gain knobs right on the front of it. They're giving it to me in millimeters. It's 130 by 75 by 38 millimeters.
Good to know.
Yeah. That's,
it's about the size of an iRig Pro Duo.
It's about just about that size. You know what I thought of is that's longer than the baby's head is supposed to be wide when it is born.
Are you comparing everything to the size of your baby's head?
Everything's compared to a baby's head nowadays.
Cool. Anyway.
Bigger than a baby's head, bitches. So what?
Nothing.
Okay.
Should we just move on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just drop that one where it stands.
Let's not ruin that one.
Okay. Hey, last thing.
So today, actually, what is today? Today's, or maybe it was yesterday. I don't even know. I've had a crazy week. This week, Fender announced the Jimi Hendrix Strat, the official Fender Jimi Hendrix model. I bet you're thinking, they didn't have one of those already?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
No, they didn't. Or they kind of did for a few years, I think, and then they didn't. And now they do again. And I don't know why they've like released it now. He, you know, died in like November or something, didn't he? They could have waited a little bit. He
waited for a calendar date of significance.
Yeah. Or sorry, he was born in November. He died in September. So like, here it is in October.
We're splitting the difference somehow.
Maybe that's it. So this is, it's part of the Fender Artist Series, and this, it's cool, I guess. It's got the large 70s headstock, which is reversed, of course. Mm-hmm. The Fender logo is right side up, though.
Because
one of my many issues with this guitar. But more on that later.
I'm choking on my tongue right now.
The bridge pickup is reversed, so it's angled the other way. So let me back up. This is a right-handed guitar, which is kind of been modified to play the way
they make a left-handed
is as a lefty.
They make a left-handed version.
Do they make a lefty version that's just a right-handed guitar?
It would still have an upside-down headstock.
It probably would. But it's just a right-handed.
So when I first saw a picture of this, I think on Facebook or something, it was pictured turned the other way, like it was a lefty model. So the controls were actually on the top and the headstock was actually facing the right way, but the body wasn't.
That's weird. So that's the thing, right? This is a regular Strat body direction, but the neck goes the other direction. The bridge pickup is tilted the other way. So that's like correct, right? So the short side is on the bass strings.
Yeah.
Okay. The other cool little attention to detail they did is they mounted the pickups upside down as well. So the pull pieces are reversed for the strings they are supposed to be on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's how Hendrix would have played it. Sure. Great. That's awesome. That kind of attention to detail is great.
Except
another attention to detail they bothered to totally forget was that Hendrix played other Strats that didn't have like the large 70s headstock and was probably known for not playing the 70s headstock more so, I would say.
Yeah.
And that he just played a pretty much a standard like Fender Strat. Like there wasn't anything amazing about the guitars he played. They were just Strats. And those guitars were great, but they weren't like crazy custom Jimi Hendrix models back in the day. They're just American Strats.
Well, and
my Strat's a Jimi Hendrix model if you're looking at them.
The vibrato arm would have been on the other side, which they didn't bother doing. The controls would have been on the other. Basically, it would have been like, well, a lot closer to what I saw, which was a flipped image, you know, taking a picture of it up. Here, they have one picture of it turned around the other way.
Well, that's because they're posting all these photos of like pictures of Jimi Hendrix one side, one way, and then upside down, you know, and the hashtag is alter your axis for axis. You get it, Justin?
Yeah, I'm there.
You sure?
I'm there.
Okay. Okay.
But in the picture where it's turned upside down, the headstock is out of frame.
Where is this photo?
There's like onion layers of buffoonery going on here. It's just on the page that you linked to. It's just one of the bunch of the photos that were. Oh, it's got authentic Hendrix on the
authentic Hendrix. Neck plate. That's the other thing. On the neck plate, there's this laser etched authentic Hendrix.
So his which, family owns
I don't know if,
his likeness now, right? Like,
right, it's like the Hendrix estate.
Which means they had and, to, oh, right, it's not necessarily his family, but it's the estate, whoever owns sure. it. So they approved this thing, right?
Yeah, and I'm sure there was a certain push and pull with what Fender wanted to do, like not put their logo upside down, but
it's why just would you, but like, you know, it would make some...
it's like halfway there.
It would make so much bigger an impact if the, like having the logo right side up, even though the neck is upside down, is so dumb. Like it's, yeah. it's, I really?
Oh, and check this out. They're made in Mexico.
I just, hang up. Mm. Hang up the phone.
So it comes in Olympic white or black. Fingerboard options are only maple.
Maple this neck, should go on one of those inappropriate uses of quotation marks, reverse yeah. headstock with reversing quotations.
Yeah.
Because it's either, it's simultaneously reversed and not reversed.
Yeah.
The so, on the back, the, who's autographed it here?
Jimi Hendrix. You fucking idiot.
So you understand my question, right? Because that's impossible.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's Jimi Hendrix TM. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. A trademark has autographed this guitar. And then the serial number, and each of those is right side up, of course. Which, right. Well, the signature, maybe, if he autographed his own guitar, that could have been okay, right side whatever. Up, right? But the
right.
Whatever. Stupid mess this is.
Made in Mexico. So there's American vintage 65 pickups. So it's a made in Mexico guitar, but it's got American pickups in it. So that's like, that's kind of cool. There's good pickups. Yeah. There are 65 pickups with a 70s headstock. Let's not go there. Okay.
I mean, how do they just, this obviously makes no, this has nothing to do with.
It's just kind of a hodgepodge of like things that he used over many years, which I guess if that's what they're going for, then great job, Fender. But I don't know. It's just sort of like it's a 9.5-inch radius, which vintage Fenders did not have. C-shaped neck. Okay, that's fine. Medium jumbo frets, though. Like my 72 Tele has a C-shaped neck and super thin vintage fret wire on it, which I bet Hendrix's Strats probably had as well if he was playing like 60s models. So, and it includes a deluxe gig bag, so that tells you what tier of guitar this is.
Yeah, so I, to their credit, I guess, they know they're not selling any of these to, you know, they know what their audience
is. I would love
is.
To see, like, I'm not going to go buy this. I think it would be really cool.
$899.99 they want for this.
Yeah.
This is the most expensive Mexican guitar they make.
Mm-hmm. My 72 is a Mexican guitar, and I think it was...
It was $900.
$650 or $700.
You're paying for the estate. You're paying for that trademark's signature.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned this to a guy at work. Oh, Jimi Hendrix Strat came out. Fender, like, for real, did it. And he's like, they know it's 2015, right? I would love to see the custom shop or any branch of Fender really to do one of those like true real deal replicas,
yeah.
fully upside down and the way it would be.
When Andy Summers, when they custom shopped yep. an Andy Summers model and had the copper,
I think it was brass.
Brass
is
an unusual metal.
Not steel.
And they made it the same way, and it had like a crack in it around where the pickup opening was. And they
all kinds of stuff. All the relicing.
Yeah,
everything was accurate.
They got the crack right so that it would, like, if you flicked it, it would tong. It would like have the same resonant pitch because that would, I mean, the you know, with the strings and everything being attached to that, that would affect the resonance, mm-hmm. I guess, of the instrument.
So they've done it for all kinds of artists. They've done it like Andy Summers, like his has a cool like preamp in it. They've done it for Eddie Van Halen, his custom like Charvel thing. That's Fender. Mm-hmm. Geez, like tons of artists have had that done now. And I just, maybe Fender doesn't want to do it for Jimi Hendrix because it was just a standard Strat.
Right.
I mean, the cool thing about it was the upside down and the reverse stringing of it.
Yeah, which is not, you know, like that coming that way from the factory is, again, like a pile of, like how's the nut cut on this?
Well, the thing is, that's it. It's a right-handed guitar. Yeah. The only difference, I'm sure it doesn't really play any differently. They say because the lower strings have a further distance to go to the tuning peg, it gives it like a unique feel, which might be true.
Yeah, but if they're routing the nut for those strings, like, because that's the thing, like, this guitar,
which they are.
If Jimmy got a guitar and flipped it over and restrung it, then the string routing, the nut routing is all off, which kind of calls into question, like, how the hell he played the damn thing, but, like...
He may have modified it. I'm sure he did, but still, and, like, Hendrix did all this stuff, like, he would bend the whammy bar, like, there's an angle in the whammy bar, he would bend it because it would be in his way.
Yeah.
And he would use it, so he would kink it so it was straight. This doesn't have that. Like, it's just kind of a half-baked idea, I think.
Yeah.
There's so much more they could do.
So much more baking they could do.
Bacon?
Did you hear? Bacon's a carcinogen, like, now.
I have a thing of smoked almonds on my desk.
Yeah, I roasted pumpkin seeds today. I carved up a couple of pumpkins and I got a tray of hot roasted pumpkin seeds upstairs. That's way more interesting than this fucking stupid Strat.
I just don't get why they're going through the detail of things like flipping the pickups over so the pull pieces are reversed.
Yeah, and making the angle and on not that one doing... wrong, even though the bridge is not flipped upside down. And
yeah. And like the Stevie Ray Vaughan custom model has his guitar had... He put a left-handed tremolo on it, so the arm was on the top. And his tribute model had that. Like, they have the technology.
Someone there could have done it. Boy, this looks even stupider in black.
Aged plastic on the pickup covers, knobs, switch tip, and arm tip. But the pick guard is a 3-ply white.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. The white one is kind of a throwback to the one he played at Woodstock.
Yeah. That's the one you picture.
I saw that guitar in person once at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Mm. Wow.
It was pretty wild. And next to it was Zach Wilde's guitar.
I see what you did there.
Also, quite wild.
All right. It's the time to... trying to put this to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like do it right, Fender. God. Fender. Like, I don't usually have a problem with what Fender does like I do with what Gibson does. Yeah.
This is a Gibson level move right here.
It's just kind of embarrassing and like, I don't know.
Like if they had just charged $2,000 for this, like if they had,
have a problem.
If they had finished overpricing it, you know what I mean? Instead of stopping partway,
at least they know.
I don't know if they do, man. Well, no, they must. I mean, they're making it in Mexico. If they thought this was the real deal, they would have had it made
in their custom shop.
Yeah, they would have done it for real. But anyway.
I wish they would. I don't know why they haven't. It must be something to do with the estate. That's the only reason I can think of. They haven't done it until now.
Yeah.
You know.
Bored.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's all.
Okay.
I've been waiting to talk about this all day. I've been so mad about this.
Yeah, I remember seeing it breeze by, like I said, on Facebook or something a day or two ago, and thinking, in my picture, it looked like it was left-handed, which meant that the head in that picture, it looks like the headstock is the only part that's wrong. So basically, if you take this guitar and actually flip it around so it's left-handed, it looks like they accidentally put the wrong headstock on a left-handed guitar.
Yeah,
it does. But it has fewer errors if you do it that way. Like, if it's supposed to be Jimi Hendrix's model, it has fewer errors if you do. So anyway, whatever.
Whatever.
Okay.
Almost there, Fender. Good idea.
I'd say good try, but you really blew it.
You can do better.
All right. So
we're gonna get even angrier about this.
It's time to go. It's time to go. All right. That was an episode, man. I'll say that about it.
That was. Yeah, that sure was.
Oh, man, holy crap.
Crap on a turd. We've been watching Parks and Rec again.
That's a fabulous show. All right, let's...
Neat. Hey, so... Oh, you got a thing.
No, right? Well, not yet. Oh. I was going to say, follow
you
us.
You looked like you were getting...
Follow us, tweet us, say stuff in the universe about us.
ToneControlShow.com. Find us on Twitter and Facebook and the email and the Reddit and the Facebook and the Twitter and the...
Yeah, leave us an iTunes review. I recommend not going higher than 4 because this is, frankly, this is a 3-star show. And if,
so here's the
if
thing.
You go higher than 4, I think you'll look foolish.
We have more ratings than we do reviews.
Does that mean? Oh, so you can just do stars? You don't have to type anything?
Yeah.
So some people write us, but they don't feel like using their words.
Everyone who has written has starred, but not all who star have written.
Yeah.
So... I'd be happy with either of those, but you know, let's how about both?
What's our average?
Oh, we're 5 stars across the board, my friend.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Wait, let me check. He said launching iTunes. You're about to uncover the nasty truth. 8 ratings, 5 stars. Hmm. 6 reviews. Most recently. It's okay.
That's the 3-star, right?
That's the 3-star titled, It's Okay.
I love that guy. I want to have him on the show. Can we reach out to the... We're not allowed to contact reviewers, though, right? There's no...
By Techinator? I can see other reviews that he's left.
Does he say it to every show? No, he loves every other show.
This could get really bad. I can see that he's reviewed apps.
We should not be doing this.
In 2011, he gave Instagram a 5-star rating.
Also, we know what kind of level this guy's at.
That's totally like not...
No, that's
not important. But
this is great. No, if the writer of that review is still listening, honestly, that made my day. It's okay
if that reviewer is still listening. Thank you so much. And
sincerely, I really hope, don't like, update your review because honestly, like,
these guys are the worst. They made fun of me on their show.
No, like, I mean it. I really like that guy. I think we could hang out. No, we probably could.
Includes literally calling things poop. Correct. I would call this canine a crap on a turd. As I said,
All right.
Only subscribe if you're up for it. I agree.
I think that's good advice for everybody.
Was this review helpful?
Yes. Damn straight.
I like this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yes, leave those ratings and reviews. That would be lovely.
Somebody should review our off-topic discussion. The next actual review that I see, I want to... Just talk about the stuff that isn't guitar.
Talk about the tangents.
Yeah,
yeah, yep.
Just review our review our sitcom talk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tony, take us out.
To all the components out there in the tone control circuit, thanks for listening.
Ceremonial bell.